And now, Reading Europe, Germany, Look Who's Back. Radio 4 continues its journey across Europe, exploring the best in contemporary literature. This hugely popular German satire by Timur Vermesch has been adapted for radio by Marcy Kahan and stars David Threlfall as Adolf Hitler.
Look who's back, look who's here, look who's back, but not for me.
Hello to England and her colonies. Scotland, Wales, Ireland, Canada, Australia, the Bahamas. This is Hitler, Adolf. I am speaking to you at the invitation of the British Broadcasting Propaganda Corporation. They thought you might be interested in my story. A story which has captivated 1.5 million German book buyers. My purpose in addressing you this afternoon will soon become clear. In the meantime, you have to imagine me, Hitler, Adolf, lying on my back. I open my eyes. The sky, blue with one or two clouds. No enemy aircraft overhead. No shelling, no explosions, no air raid sirens. I seem to be lying on the ground. Now, this is peculiar. I do not usually camp out. My first thought, where is the Führer bunker? My second thought, what did I get up to last night? I was sitting on the sofa with Eva. Stalin was due in Berlin any second. We were feeling rather carefree. I showed her my old pistol.
Let me hold it. I need to hold it.
No, no, no. You mustn't touch.
And then, after that, I can't remember anything more. Ugh, my head is splitting. Come on, Adolf, get a grip. Thanks to years of iron discipline, I can honestly boast that in a crisis, I become even more composed. My senses are sharpened. I work like a machine. Synthesize, Adolf, synthesize. Where are you? I am lying on the ground. What can you see? Litter? A daisy? A dandelion? Ah, here's that. A bird somewhere. What's that? Near my head? A shrinking puddle. It must have rained earlier. At the edge of the puddle, my peaked cap. This is how a trained mind works. Voices in the middle distance. A group of off-duty Hitler youth playing association football. I sit up without difficulty. I am uninjured. Good. I am in full military uniform. Excellent. Jacket soiled, smells of petrol. Perhaps Eva has used too much solvent. But where is Eva? Ah, here come the Hitler youth.
Hey, guys, check this out.
Whoa, major casualty.
All right, granted they were off the mark with my rank. But who can blame them? It is not every day that one encounters the Führer of the German Reich on a patch of wasteland among daisies and dandelions.
You're right, boss.
I could not help noticing that the Nazi salute was missing. I managed to stand up.
Where is Bormann?
Who?
Bormann. Martin.
Never heard of him.
What's he look like?
Like a Reichsleiter, for pity's sake.
Something was very amiss. I must get back to the Führer bunker. Fortunately, the tallest of the youth turned to his friends, allowing me to read his name, which his mother had sewn onto his jersey.
Hitler Youth Rinaldo. Which way to the street?
I guess over there.
Then the youth just shuffled away. No request for permission to move. I made a mental note to dismiss Rust, the Reich Minister for Education. How is a young soldier to find his way to Moscow if he cannot even recognize his supreme commander? Right, to the Führer bunker. Cap on straight, I head off in the indicated direction. I go round the corner, make my way between high walls down a narrow alleyway, and all at once, I am confused. Is this Berlin? Where is the rubble? Who has cleared it? And the houses, the cars painted in colors that remind me of the confectionery of my childhood. I feel dizzy. Over there, a park bench.
Oi! You blind or what?
I am terribly sorry.
A bicyclist wearing a helmet which has sustained serious damage given the number of holes in it. So, we are still at war.
You can't just stagger into the road.
I need to sit down.
You need to lie down, pal. Make it a nice long one.
Sanctuary. The park bench. The cyclist had not recognized me either. Ah, here comes a good German mother.
Fraulein, I urgently need to find my way to the Reich Chancery.
Are you off the television?
We are at war, woman. What do you think the Russians will do to you when they get here? Do you think they would look at you and say, well, a fine German girl, but for her child's sake, I will leave my baser urges in my trousers?
You're crazy, you are.
So, you are unwilling to show the Führer of the German Reich the way to his chancery?
You keep taking the medication.
Something was definitely out of control. The footballers, the cyclists, the German mother. No one knew me. This was no coincidence. My methodical brain recapped the situation. I am in Germany, in Berlin, although the city is completely unfamiliar. More information. That's what I needed. And then I see it. Across the road, a newspaper kiosk. All the papers outside the kiosk are in Turkish. Unmistakable proof of a triumphant Berlin Ankara axis. And clearly this brought about a decisive turning point. This explains the peacefulness of the streets. Now, I must discover how long I have spent on that patch of waste ground. Unable to see a Volkische Beobachter anywhere, this was our reliable Nazi party newspaper. I settled for the most familiar typeface, the Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung. Now, where is the date? 30th August, and the year? No. Clearly a mistake. I find a different paper. I search for the date. The numbers dance before my eyes.
You okay?
Bent over me, a man of 45, maybe 50 years. Checked shirt, plain trousers, typical worker.
What is today's date?
29th of August? No, wait, it's the 30th.
Which year, ma'am?
2011. What do you think, 1945?
Please, help me up.
Easy does it. You better sit down.
Inside the kiosk, he handed me some industrially pressed grain.
You better have a snack.
So there's still a bread shortage. Surprisingly tasty.
Yeah, I get it. Hitler, he would never have seen a granola bar. You are good.
I know.
What, you filming nearby?
Filming.
Documentary? Yeah, they're always filming around here. I mean, I've seen Downfall twice. Bruno Ganz was superb, but, well, he's got a patch on you. Your old demeanour, I mean, to look at you. You're the man himself.
Which man?
You know, the Führer.
He raised both his hands, crooking his index and middle fingers together. Then he twitched them up and down. So, after 66 years, this was all that remained of the once rigid Nazi salute.
I am the Führer.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're a natural.
The facts were becoming clear. This was no dream. We were, indeed, in the year 2011. A totally new world. A world which would expect me to be either 122 years old or, more logically, dead.
Would you act in other things too?
I do not act.
Come on, what are you in? I can't recall seeing you anywhere. You got a card? Many flyers?
No, don't talk to me about the Luftwaffe. In the end, they were a complete failure.
That's when I noticed the mirror, propped against a shelf. The face that stared back was the Führer of 1945, not a day over 56. How could I be 56?
Another granola bar? I'm rather partial to them too.
Thank you.
Tell me, which countries does the Reich now share a border with?
What? Well, it's Poland, France.
Ripe for reconquering?
Reconquering? You don't let up, do you? Come on, with that routine, you can't tell me you're still an amateur.
I am no amateur.
No. I mean, that's obvious. But what do you do for a living?
At present, I am in retirement.
It's incredible. Listen, they pass by here all the time. You know, agents, film types, telly people. Always grateful for a tip-off, new face. How can I get hold of you?
The question of my billeting is unresolved.
Okay. Well, you staying with a girlfriend?
No, I have no female companion. Not any longer.
I got it. Yeah, break up. Who's to blame?
I don't know. Ultimately, Churchill.
I like your style. Listen, you're welcome to spend a night or two here.
Here?
Well, unless you got somewhere else.
No.
Listen, mate, you're not going to clean me out of all my stuff, are you?
Do I look like a criminal?
Well, you look like Adolf Hitler.
Exactly.
The following days were testing time. Billeted in makeshift accommodation, bent double in an armchair. Others might have spent their time hunting in vain for a solution to the time travel conundrum. How have I come back? Why do I seem to be 56 and not 122 years old? What is the scientific explanation? Such questions, irrelevant. All that matters is that I am Adolf Hitler. But what were the facts? I had neither military intelligence nor my foreign ministry to guide me. What I did have was the kiosk owner's wireless set. But as you can hear, the standards of Greater German Radio have nosedived since 1940.
Enough! Silence!
Next, the periodicals. Not that I expected them to be trustworthy, but this is what they claimed. 1. The Turk has not come to our assistance after all. 2. It is the 70th anniversary of Operation Barbarossa. It was no victory. Indeed, the whole war ended in defeat. 3. I am reported to be dead. A suicide. In truth, I do recall discussing this contingency with my confidants in 1945, and my memory is definitely lacking a few hours. Even so, look at me. Am I dead? Oh, so much for journalism. 4. The German Reich has given way to what is called a federal republic led by the Chancellor, a dumpy woman who has all the charisma of a weeping willow. 5. The Reich has shrunk, despite the fact that Poland is still there, living out its artificial existence, partly on Reich territory. At this point, I screamed into the darkness of the kiosk. I might as well handed them the war on a plate.
Rise and shine!
Morning, mein Führer. So, how did you sleep?
The crack of dawn. Who is this oaf? I shall have him court-martialed and shot. And then I remember.
Time to rock and roll. Come on, give us a hand with these racks.
That's it, yeah. No, that one goes over here.
The irony. Yesterday I was repositioning the 12th Army. Today, Hello Magazine.
I don't look so depressed. Grab hold of those deck chairs. We'll sit in the sun.
And my presence outside the kiosk prompted much gaiety, especially amongst younger workers.
Hey, did you see that guy? This is Berlin, anything goes.
But there was one man who continued to stare at me.
Isn't he great? There's practically no difference, is there?
A spitting image.
But is he allowed to? I mean, the uniform and all that.
What objection could possibly be raised against the code of a German soldier?
Don't get me wrong. You're really authentic, but don't you need a special license to be wearing that in public?
Well, I agree, it is a bit soiled, but even so, this uniform is nobler than the pristine dinner jacket of a perfidious diplomat.
And he's not wearing the swastika.
Why the devil should I? Everyone knows what party I'm in.
Okay, some of us have jobs to get to.
Have a nice day.
He has got a point, you know. Can you wear something different?
Am I to deny my life, my work, my Volk?
I will go on wearing this uniform until the last drop of blood has
Look,
been...
it stinks, okay?
What did you say?
Well, think about it. Someone comes by wanting to meet you, and here you are reeking of petrol. They won't even dare light up within 10 meters.
You did?
Me? Well, I'm brave. Come on, why don't you pop home and fetch some clothes?
I told you, it's difficult at the moment.
Okay. Listen, tomorrow I'll bring you some of my old things. I put on a bit of weight. They might just fit you. I mean, you're not playing Göring as well.
Göring? Why would I play Göring?
My second night in the kiosk. More strenuous hours ruminating on my plight. Hitler, Adolf, not dead. Hitler, Adolf, sentient and active, 66 years after the end of the war. So, what am I feeling? Relief? Astonishment? No. Irritation. Irritation with the German people for not destroying everything as I had ordered in the event that we lost the war. Bridges, power stations, roads, railways. I gave instructions for every last one to be obliterated. Waterworks, factories, farms, houses, and doors, too. I told them that the doors must be ground into sawdust. Also, door handles. Then the screws, and not only the long ones, the screws must be ruthlessly bent out of shape. As the enemy will show no mercy, he will walk in and out of these doors as it pleases him. But show him a broken door handle, bent screws, a heap of ashes. Well, Churchill, be my guest. As for the German Volk, they have forfeited their right to exist, proving themselves inferior in the struggle against Bolshevism, and yet the Volk are still here. And I am here too. Why? Why am I back? I found it impossible to sleep. Then it happened. A flash of understanding. Sitting bolt upright, I addressed the large jars of confectionery. Destiny. Once before, destiny had chosen someone, snatching an unknown corporal from the trenches in 1919, granting him the gifts of an orator, a rich hoard of knowledge, enabling him to smash the shackles of Versailles. This man, of course, was myself. And fate has done it again. Chosen me. Who cares how I'm here? The question to be asked is, why? Why? Because the Volk need me. However tranquil the world appears, the Volk must be in danger. But Adolf, do you want this? Think carefully. Do you want to spend your nights in an armchair beside a water urn in which sausages are heated up during the day for human consumption?
I want to, and I will. Yes, yes, and three times yes. Hail myself!
The knight answered back.
Exactly, they're all a bunch of arseholes.
I took this as a sign of solidarity. The Volk are with me.
Rise and shine! Morning, mein Führer. Look what we have here.
An ordinary pair of blue cotton trousers and a red check shirt. This did not surprise me. The kiosk owner did not wear a suit. Neither did his clientele.
Yeah, I knew they'd fit. Yeah, red is your colour. Yeah. Old pair of trainers, excellent condition.
I'm not wearing these. They make me look like a circus clown.
Listen, the way you stuff your trousers into the boots...
I am a practical man.
Yeah, you really don't want to look like other people, do you?
Well, where would Germany be if I had always done everything like so-called other people?
Yeah, your uniform. I assume you want to take it to the dry cleaners yourself.
Naturally.
Well, it's just down the street. Straight ahead, turn left. Hasta la vista, baby.
I prefer Heil Hitler.
I did not visit the dry cleaners immediately. First, I retraced my steps through the patch of waste ground where I had first regained consciousness. I approached the puddle. It was almost dry.
Bormann? Bormann? Are you there? Himmler? Goebbels? Can you hear me?
So be it. The strong man is mightiest alone. It was entirely up to me to save the Volk, the Earth, and humankind. First step to dry cleaners.
Well, have you been waiting long?
A Turk. Asiatic cheekbones.
Much too long.
Why not ring?
I did ring. Here.
Must ring here.
A German only rings once.
Then ring once here.
I was seized by the urge to send round the SA and have them lacerate this cretin's eardrum with this accursed bell. Even better, both eardrums. But due to the lack of even the most basic auxiliary staff, all I could say was...
Tell me, do you clean things too? Or where you come from, is the cleaning industry just about bell ringing?
What do you want?
This.
Uh-huh. You work at petrol station.
No, I do not work at the petrol station. Try a bit harder, man.
I turned my head upwards and to the side to give this half-breed a more photogenic view.
Moment, please. I get my son. He always watch TV, internet, know everything. Mehmet! Mehmet!
Yes?
A tall youth in a shirt like a bedsheet and billowing trousers.
Mehmet, you know this man?
Yeah, of course. That's the bloke who does the Nazi stuff.
You mean National Socialism?
You're Stromberg. No, wait. You're the other Stromberg.
For the benefit of British listeners, I later discovered that Stromberg is a character on a TV parody show who behaves as an ineffectual Führer of the Third Reich.
Can I have an autograph? Better yet, a photograph.
I consented to be photographed and graciously wrote my signature on a sheet of tissue paper.
Thanks, dear Stromberg. Oh, wait a sec, you haven't signed Stromberg?
He's not the real Stromberg. You said he was the other one.
I left the shop. So, now I was the guy who did the Nazi stuff. Herr Stromberg. Not the real Stromberg, the other one. I had underestimated the enormity of the task facing me. Something had to happen. Fast.
There he is now.
Fortunately, something had happened in my absence.
This is him. He's brilliant. He's mad. Puts all the others in the shade.
The kiosk owner, standing with two youngish men.
Come here, come here. These are the people I told you about.
Who are these people?
Well, these gentlemen are from a production company. They make programs for all the major channels, MyTV, RTL, Sat1, ProSieben, all the private ones. Am I right, gentlemen?
That's about right. Sensenbrink, your key. This is Frank Savatsky. He works with me at Flashlight.
Hitler, Adolf.
Our mutual friend has been raving about you.
Go on, say something. We have been returning fire with Poland since 5:45.
So? You wish to talk about Poland? Fine. What exactly do you know about the history of Poland?
Well, capital Warsaw, invaded 1939, divided with the Russians.
That is merely what the books say. Answer the question.
But I...
The question, do I not understand German? What do you know about the history of Poland? You mentioned returning fire. Have you any idea where? What? If you heard my speech, then surely you know how it continues.
But I mean, you're
not... Well, let me help you. Henceforth, bomb will be met with bomb. Write it down. A great quotation from history. But maybe you are better in the field. You have 1.4 million men at your disposal and 30 days in which to conquer an entire country. How many divisions does the enemy have? And what do you do to prevent the Romanians becoming involved?
The Romanians?
Oh, excuse me. Who gives a fig about the Romanians? Naturally, when Herr General here marches to Warsaw, he does not look right, he does not look left. The weather is fine, the troops exceptional, but whoops, what is that? Out of nowhere, millions of Romanian bullets have peppered the backs of our infantrymen. But how? Maybe our young general here has forgotten about the alliance between Poland and Romania. Were you ever in the Wehrmacht, man? Can you find a way to Poland? You can't even find your own uniform. I, on the other hand, can tell you at any hour, any minute, where my uniform is at the cleaners. Here is the receipt!
The older of the two men sprayed me with coffee. He seemed to think that this was amusing.
Please, you mustn't do that to a man when he's drinking. I nearly choked.
Didn't I tell you? I mean, the guy's a genius.
First, I thought it was going to be some cliché military skit, but the line about the cleaners...
You grilled that burger to perfection. Set up, wallop, punchline, and it all seems uber spontaneous. But that's a prepared routine, right?
Which routine?
The Poland routine. Don't tell me that's off the cuff.
The Poland routine was planned down to the finest detail by June 39.
I love the way you keep going. Look, there are some people in our company I'd like you to meet. Where can we contact you?
Here, the kiosk.
Yeah, I told you before, his personal work at the moment, unsettled.
Without fixed abode, yes. But I am certainly not without a Heimat.
Okay, enough. Savatsky? Sort something out for him.
Yep, will do.
No matter how good he is, if he turns up in front of Frau Bellini looking like that...
He'll be scrap metal before he can open his mouth.
Exactly. I don't want to let the grass grow on this one. We should try and diarise something for next week.
Fine with me.
And that is how it began. New home, new job, fresh opportunities.
Sorry, didn't know you were in.
Settle in the room which hotel reserver Savatsky had found for me. I had forgotten to display the do not disturb sign on the door.
Fresh towels.
Thank you.
Something wrong with the telly?
The telly?
It's just you've hung your shirt on it.
Ah.
Evans prison. Come
see. Now it's working. Well, have a nice day.
A television. This apparatus had changed so much, I had failed to recognize it. I pressed number one on the small box.
You need to chop these finely and evenly.
I see you hold that knife very firmly.
Firmly but relaxed. Nice even circles.
Unbelievable. Providence has presented the German Volk with this magnificent opportunity for propaganda, and it is being squandered on how to chop leeks. I press button two.
Now, when I say turnip, you may think it means this one, but in fact, there are many varieties.
Turnips. A channel devoted to turnips. Button three. Another kitchen, but this one featured an obese woman and her scruffy daughter.
16-year-old Mandy has lost her apprenticeship, and now she refuses to eat the food which her mother, who is unemployed, has lovingly prepared for her.
Eat it. You have to eat something.
I won't. It's filth.
It was clear to me that this pair had belonged in a labor camp. I would have demolished their apartment house and replaced it with a parade ground. Button four. Ah, the news channel. At last.
The Chancellor has announced that further talks will be held soon to try to resolve the crisis.
What crisis? It was impossible to follow because of the banners running across the picture. Stocks and shares, football scores, the weather in Abu Dhabi. A person would suffer a stroke if he tried to follow everything. My head was aching. That is when it struck me. Maybe this organized lunacy was a trick. Let's say there is bad news. Distract the Volk with never-ending banners. Focus on the football scores instead. In my time, I could have used this policy. Not for Stalingrad, maybe, but the Allied landing in Sicily, definitely. Perhaps I had underestimated this new medium.
16-year-old Mandy still refuses to eat her food, so her mother has turned to their neighbour for help.
Another obese lady.
I like it. Everybody likes it.
This one a chain smoker. Was this typical of the German Volk? If so, a superhuman task lay ahead of me. I left the hotel. I collected my uniform from the cleaners. When I got back to the hotel, there was a message. Sensenbrink.
We're expecting you at the production office tomorrow, 2 p.m. Take a cab.
The taxi driver recognized me instantly.
All right, Gov.
That's what a spruced-up uniform will do for you.
Back then, are we?
Definitely. I go to Flashlight Productions. Here is the address.
Right you are.
So, this was the new Berlin. The buildings were a mishmash. All the same shops kept appearing. It was clear that a Herr Starbuck owned dozens of coffee shops.
This is it, Gov. Flashlight Productions. Don't take no for an answer.
I never do.
An insipid block of concrete. Inside the door, a reception area, staffed by a blonde lady.
All right, Hitler. Hi. They're expecting you. Follow me.
I shudder to describe the place. Rows and rows of partitioned desks, workers staring at television sets beneath fluorescent tubes, and the noise.
Excuse me. How long has this labor camp been here?
Sorry?
Oh, please do not apologize. You are a very brave girl.
You bet. I don't want to remain in a system forever.
Quite so. Fraulein?
Oslen.
So, the Turks were not only in dry cleaning, they were everywhere.
Ah, there he is. Come in. Come in.
A conference room. I recognize Sensenbrink and Savatsky, the hotel reserver. Standing beside them, two youngsters in suits, one in a turtleneck, the other with his hair in a ponytail. And a woman. This must be Bellini, around 40 years old, dark hair, perhaps a native of the South Tyrol. I sensed at once that this woman was more of a man than all the other nincompoops.
This is Frau Bellini, Executive Vice President of Flashlight.
I marched straight up to her.
Frau Bellini, our promising new discovery, Herr...
Hitler. Adolf Hitler. Former Chancellor of the Greater German Reich.
She offered me her hand. I raised it to my lips as I bowed my head, but not too deeply.
Herr Hitler.
Delighted to make your acquaintance, madame. Together, we can change Germany.
She smiled somewhat uncertainly, but I knew from past experience the devastating effect I have on women. I then assumed control.
Gentlemen, madam, please sit.
I placed myself at the far end of the table where I could survey them all. But I remained silent. In silence is power.
Okay, sprinkle your magic. What are you bringing to the table?
Myself.
No, I mean the routine.
Nobody mentioned Poland unless you really want to set him off.
Herr Savatsky, do you wish me to speak?
Sorry, please.
The question before us. How can you help me to help Germany?
And how do you intend to help Germany?
I have seen the space in which you and your comrades are forced to perform your compulsory labor. Speer was not squeamish when it came to the efficient deployment of foreign workers, but these chicken coops have Germans in them.
Open plan offices, you find them everywhere.
Ah, so they were your idea, Herr Sensenbrink.
My idea? We all decided.
Ah, well, there you have it, Frau Bellini. My argument in a nutshell. I am speaking of responsibility. I am speaking of decisions. Who installed these massive cages? Was it that man in the turtleneck? Or that fellow with the ponytail? These gentlemen look bemused. They do not know. No one knows. When you buy a cup of coffee today, who makes the coffee? Frau Bellini, you and I both know that Herr Starbuck cannot make coffee everywhere at the same time. And when you go to the supermarket, who made the food? Do you think it was Herr Lidl? Do you believe that your chicken wings were packed by Herr Aldi himself? Responsibility. A leader takes decisions. He stands by them body and soul. Shall we attack Russia? Shall we encircle Moscow? I know, let's sit around the table and decide with a show of hands. Do you want to know who was responsible for Russia? It was me. The Autobahn. Not any old clown. It was the Führer. When you eat a roll in the morning, you know it was the baker. When you march into Czechoslovakia in the evening, you know it was the Führer.
Told you he was good, didn't I? Uber good.
Ponytail and turtleneck look skeptical.
But is it comedy?
It's sort of scary.
That's not to say it's not original.
Oh, it's definitely original.
Original and scary.
Modern stand-up, gentlemen. What is it? Setup, punchline, laugh. Utterly predictable.
That's true, Frau Bellini, but you don't tamper with a successful formula.
A formula that's safe, cosy, tired. What we have here is a deadpan strategy that will obliterate the competition. Herr Hitler, did you prepare all this?
Why would I? My ideology is long established. Do you think you can learn to be a Führer in your universities?
He's improvising. Look at him. He just comes out with it and doesn't even pull a silly face. Do you know what that means? It means he's not the type who runs out of things to say after a couple of programs.
Or whimpers that we need to give him more writers.
Exactly. He's self-sufficient. Am I right, Herr Hitler?
Oh, I do not approve of so-called writers meddling in my work. When I was writing Mein Kampf...
I'm beginning to get it, Carmen.
He's like his own straight man.
We'll use him as a foil, where he'll make the biggest impact. A permanent slot on Ali Gagmez.
Who?
Ali'll love us for that.
Ali's ratings are falling. He needs all the help he can get.
Hitler on Ali Gagmez. Brilliant. The other channels won't know what's hit them.
There's just one thing I need to get straight with you, my friend.
What is that, Frau Bellini?
The Jews. They are no laughing matter.
Oh, you are right. I couldn't agree more.
At last, here was someone who knew what she was talking about. So, there you have it. After only a handful of days in this modern epoch, I had gained access to the broadcast media. This was without question the most dangerous moment in my new career. I resolved to tread carefully, tethered to the iron discipline of my daily routine. Every morning I would rise at 11, order a slice or two of cake from the hotel staff, then I would work late into the night. Correction, I would have risen at 11 had not the telephone rung at the crack of dawn, around 9. These morning people with their hysterically bright voices, as if they had been up for 3 hours and had already conquered France.
I'm calling from contracts. Just preparing your documents. A few questions. For example, what name should I put on the contract?
What name?
I mean, I don't know what your name is.
Hitler Adolf.
Yeah. Seriously. I meant your real name?
Hitler Adolf.
Well, that's a coincidence.
Coincidence? How so?
Well, you know that you're called, and you look like it too. Your name, I mean.
So you look quite different from your name, do you?
No, but...
Well, then, get those damned papers processed. Yes?
Hi, it's me again, Frau Krawczyk. It's not going to work.
What is not going to work?
It'll never get through the legal department. I mean, when they look at the contract and see Adolf...
Okay, fine. My real name is Schmoll Rosenzweig.
I knew it. How'd you spell that? Schmoll with a C?
That was a joke.
Oh, damn pity. I think you better pop in to the office. I need something like your passport.
Ask Bormann.
How I missed Bormann. He would have found me an impeccable set of documents, bank accounts, everything. If the contract girl had objected, he would have booked her on a one-way trip to Dachau. If only I could find myself a new Bormann.
Hey, Hitler. Hi. Herr Sensenbrink is expecting you.
I should hope so.
The Turk escorted me to Sensenbrink's desk among the chicken coops.
So, contract glitch. We can get it sorted. You worry about your program.
A Bormann. The man was a Bormann come to life.
What exactly do you need going forward?
An identity card, bank account, everything, really.
Don't you have a passport?
I never had need of one.
Haven't you ever been abroad?
Well, obviously, Poland, France, Hungary, the Soviet Union.
You got in there without a passport?
I cannot recollect anybody having asked me for one.
Okay, I get it. You insist on remaining in character, that's admirable. But we're going to need your real name.
Hitler Adolf.
Listen, I know how you feel. Given how controversial your act is, you need to be careful as an artist. But I'm not sure the bureaucrats will see it that way.
Certainly this man was not such a boorman. I decided to indulge him.
Look, I know it's difficult for you. I imagine you seldom encounter people like me.
Of course we do. It's our job.
So, there are more like me?
Come on, television. It's a crowded field.
Well, who else are you broadcasting? Churchill? Eisenhower? Chamberlain?
No. Where would be the humour in that? We're sticking with our Adolf.
What happens if Stalin turns up tomorrow?
Now, you can forget Stalin. We're not the History Channel.
This was the Sensenbrink I wanted to hear. Sensenbrink's a fanatic, awakened by his Führer.
Fräulein Oslem, show our friend here his new office.
My new office. What a reminder of the long path I yet had to travel. Have you ever seen photos of the Reich Chancellery? One entered, one felt dwarfed, one trembled. They all trembled. Speer got everything so right. No, mustn't give way to self-pity. So the Führer of the Greater German Reich finds himself in a shoebox. So be it. A temporary setback. Just then, a young girl appeared. Clothes, black. Hair, black. Lips, dark blue.
So, you must be Herr Hitler? LOL?
No one is fonder of the darker hues than I, but this girl, worryingly pale.
And who might you be?
Vera Crowmeyer? Your typist? Can I ask you a question? Is this method acting?
I'm sorry?
You know, what De Niro does? When you're, like, completely immersed in your role?
Have you been assigned to work for me, Fräulein Crowmeyer?
Absolutely. I'm ready to roll.
First of all, please call me Mein Führer. And I expect the appropriate greeting when you enter.
Greeting?
The Nazi salute, naturally. Right arm outstretched.
I knew it! You are method acting! Do you want me to start now?
Please.
Okay!
Come in.
Good morning, Mein Führer! You have to shout it, don't you? I saw it in a film once. Or does everything have to be shouted? Did everyone shout all the time with Hitler? Oh, no, I forgot to salute. Heil Hitler! Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to hit you. Please don't fire me. I'm, like, so loving this.
No, that was fine. Yeah, I do not expect perfection. Just no more screaming.
Jawohl, Mein Führer. Not bad, eh? So, what are we going to do now?
First, please remove this television from your desk. You are not being paid to watch television. You'll need a decent typewriter.
I can't do typewriters, only PCs. But you have your own computer too. Here, I'll turn it on.
No need, you are the secretary here.
Oh, just give it a go, Mein Führer. Else you'll be like, can you help me with this, and how do I do that? And I'll be like so totally busy with you that I won't be able to get on with my own work.
Then Fräulein Crowmeyer introduced me to one of the most extraordinary achievements in the history of civilization. The internet work. How I could have done with that after a hard day of military decisions. Every newspaper, every periodical, not forgetting the greatest German reference work of all time, Wikipedia.
Now, let's get you online. Have they given you an address?
I'm in a hotel.
Email? Electronic post? What name should we register you under?
My own, naturally.
I imagine that's going to be, like, difficult.
Difficult?
There we go. Your name isn't allowed. And even if it were allowed, I bet one of the nutters has already, like, taken it.
Taken it?
Here we are. Adolf.Hitler's gone. A Hitler and A.Hitler gone. Just Hitler and just Adolf as well.
Then we will simply have to get them back.
You can't get anything back.
Well, Bormann could. Do you think the Orbe Salzburg was uninhabited? No. But Bormann had his ways and means.
Would you rather Herr Bormann sorted out your email address?
No. Listen, you're doing your best.
What about a pseudonym?
Fine. I'll have Wolf, then.
Wolf on its own? It's bound to be taken.
Then in God's name, make it Wolf's Lair.
Gone. You can have Wolf's Lair 6.
But I'm not Wolf's Lair 6.
Oh, wait a sec. You can have Reich Chancellery 1.
Good. At least I like that building.
Bingo. Hey, don't look so sad. You're all set.
The internet work enabled me to gain a precise understanding of post-1945 German history. One, there was a lie, another lie, called reunification. A few rundown square kilometers in the east had been reclaimed from the Russians. Where was Silesia? Where was Alsace-Lorraine? Where was Austria? Two, the French arch-enemy has become our closest friend. They formed a European alliance like a gang of schoolboys arguing perpetually about who had to contribute the most sweets. Three, the sole ray of light is a splendid party that goes by the name of Greens. Granted, it has its share of pacifist numbskulls, but its dedication to protecting the Bavarian mountains, a party after my own heart. It was time to examine the international situation in greater detail. Unfortunately, I was detained. A stranger with a military problem. Thus, I spend the following 3.5 hours engaged in a naval exercise by the name of Minesweeper.
Hello, darling. My name's Elke. What's yours?
The makeup room for the Ali Gagmez show. A tidy-looking woman of around 40 ushering me into a chair.
Herr Hitler.
Right then, Herr Hitler. Make yourself comfortable, sweetheart. Have you been on television before?
On several occasions. Rather a long time ago.
You got fabulous skin, babe. Many people your age don't drink enough.
Ah, exactly. We must all drink water. It maintains the vigour of our race.
So he's funny, is he?
There, in the mirror, Ali Gagmez, the host of the show. A Turk.
Yeah, look at him. Isn't he amazing?
Great uniform. Totally authentic. This is going to be brilliant. Me, and then you, with your Nazi routines. Even though Nazi routines aren't exactly new.
Indeed.
No, sure. Not a problem, mate. Everything's been done before. I picked up my foreigner routine in New York in the 90s. So, where does your shtick come from?
Ultimately from the German people.
Oh. Bellini said you were really wedded to the role. So do you need a cue? Should I end on a particular subject before I introduce you?
Quite unnecessary.
Really? I've never had much time for improvisation. Anyway, mate, later.
Don't let him get to you, babe.
Get to me?
Ali's really moody. You know, star of the show.
But for how long?
You're scary when you use that tone. You really are.
I observed Gagnez from the side of the stage.
So a Turk, an Indian and a Pole decide to go into the restaurant business. Well, you can guess what happens. The Turk overcooks the chapatis, the Indian burns the shish kebabs, and the Pole steals all the cash and hops on a coach to London to join his cousin the plumber. Am I right? Of course I'm right! Never trust a foreigner! And now, a topical piece from Herr Adolf Hitler.
I stepped out from the wings into the glare of the spotlight. I, who was accustomed to speaking for hours on end, now had only 5 minutes. I did not speak. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Gagmez, the dilettante in the wings, starting to sweat because nothing, apparently, was happening. The tension was palpable. I enjoyed it. And then, my fellow Germans, what we have just seen in this routine is perfectly true. True that you can't trust the Turk with your chapatis. The Turk's intellectual abilities will rarely surpass even the dimmest of our kinsmen. True that the Indian will burn your shish kebab. The Indian is a garrulous type befuddled by his religion.
and true that the Pole remains unspeakable. And yet, what a disgrace to our nation that here, on German soil, only a Turkish follower of our movement dares to say these things out loud. Germans today keep their waste more thoroughly separated than their races, with one single exception. In the field of humor, the house mouse makes jokes about the house mouse and the field mouse jokes about the field mouse. This has to change. This will change. From today, at 22:45, the house mouse will joke about the field mouse, the badger about the deer, and the German about the Turk. We need to, we must, we will vilify the foreigner. What is allowed for Gagmez the Turk must be allowed for Rudolf the German.
Silence. No applause. Backstage, I encountered Frau Bellini.
Frau Bellini, tonight marks the beginning of a mighty enterprise.
Excuse me, that's my phone.
I watched her retreat to a corner, her phone to her ear. She did not appear to like what was being said.
Stupid. You think you're playing her?
Ali, let him go.
Gagmez, his face was purple. At moments like this, how much I miss my SS.
You need to learn some manners.
Don't you give me that crazy Hitler stare, matey. Come on, where did you dig up this asshole? Did you hear what he said? I'm a follower of his movement. What movement? How am I a follower?
I did tell you he was a bit different.
I want this piece of crap off my program now. You think you can swan up here in that ridiculous uniform? Let me tell you, you are so old hat. You're off the show, got that? You're never going to be anybody.
I have no need. Behind me are millions of fellow Germans.
See that? He's winding me up. You are not winding me up.
Ali, calm down. We'll review the situation tomorrow.
Review? What is there to review?
Frau Bellini ushered the Turk towards the exit, but she gazed back at me. A searching gaze. A gaze that said, "You are dangerous and wonderful, and I am grateful." Next morning, I woke at 11:30, fresh as a daisy, had a slice of cake and headed to the newspaper kiosk.
Hey, Hitler! Come to read your reviews, have you? Yeah, no need to worry. Those who saw it seemed to like it.
Oh, I have no worries.
Listen, my son saw you on his mate's mobile. He said you were unreal. Oh, that means brilliant.
Ah, thank you.
Only three reviews. Two said that due to my splendidly wicked performance, Ali Gagmez had finally rediscovered his edge. I had no idea what that meant.
I can hardly believe it, you know. I mean, only a few weeks ago, I was picking you up off the ground.
I have never thanked you properly. Did they...
Oh, yeah, don't worry. We came to an agreement.
Good. Listen, there's something you might help me with.
Anything?
What makes you angry?
Angry?
In this new society, what really gets your blood boiling?
Me? I'm fairly even-tempered.
But you are a typical hard-working German, yes?
Well, of course.
Who is absolutely satisfied with everything?
Well, no, I mean, I don't approve of people trying to get something for nothing.
You mean the foreigners?
Well, I don't mind them if they work hard.
Ah, but shouldn't Germany be for the Germans?
Well, in theory...
Now that I'm back, we can move beyond theory.
This
is my telephone. Fräulein Krohmeier set it up for me. Hitler here. Hitler here.
You need to put it to your ear.
This is Hitler.
Herr Hitler, Frau Bellini wants you to know the company is really happy.
Well, this is nice, but I have bigger goals than three newspaper reviews.
Newspapers? You've made it onto YouTube. You're getting endless hits. Just take a look. Young people love you.
Never underestimate the young.
We've got to produce some new stuff straight away. They're extending your slot. Get over here as soon as you can.
So, good news?
Can you use this device to find something called the YouTube?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. Here. You see that? There you are. And this is the number of people giving you the thumbs up.
here.
Someone had taken a recording of my appearance on Gagmez's program and inserted it into the YouTube. A place where everyone can watch whatever they like without being dictated to by the Jewish gutter press. I had 700,000 hits so far, increasing by the minute. I returned to my office.
Oh, mein Führer! Just going to lunch. Here, I found this in your pigeonhole. Hmm. See you soon.
See you soon, Fräulein.
The sender had written my name in inverted commas. I sniffed. No perfume, alas. So, not from a female admirer. An immaculate swastika at the top of the page. My heart beat with joy. Black, clumsy handwriting.
Stop all your shit, you effing Jewish bastard.
If only Bormann and Goebbels had been there to laugh with me. It was the 20s all over again. Of course, back then I took possession of a party. This time it was only a television program. Early days, of course. Early days. So, I urge you to tune in next week, you citizens of England and her colonies, when I shall reveal my true purpose in telling you this story. This is Hitler, Adolf, signing off.
In part one of Look Who's Back, Adolf Hitler was played by David Threlfall, the kiosk owner by Ben Crowe, Joachim Zenzenbrink by John Norton, Carmen Bellini, Caroline Berry, Frank Zavadsky, Richard Mylan, Fräulein Krohmeier, Alex Tregear, and Ali Gagmez was played by Sargon Yelda. Other parts were played by Deborah Baker, Leo Wan, and George Watkins, with music composed by Clive Swift and arranged by Stuart Morley. Look Who's Back by Timur Vermesh was adapted for radio by Marcy Cahan from the translation by Jamie Bullock. It was a BBC Cymru Wales production, directed by Helen Perry.
Look Who's Back concludes at the same time next Sunday. Reading Europe continues at 9:45 tomorrow morning when we ask if Danish fiction reflects the lives of the people outside Copenhagen.
Nobody heard him, the dead man.
He did not wear his scarlet coat.
And, which is more, you'll be a man, my son.
In a beautiful pea-green boat.
The sea is calm tonight.
Time's winged chariot hurrying near.
Do not go gentle into that good night.
Till all the seas gang dry, my dear.
Let me die a young man's death.
Let the traffic policeman wear black cotton gloves.
Things fall apart. The centre cannot hold.
What will survive of us is love.
We British, an epic in poetry. October 8th on BBC Radio 4.